You know, this morning, Sister Maxine talked about the subject of durable riches. Those are things that money cannot buy.
Yes.
That's moved out of the area that durable riches is. If you have enough of it, it'll buy this. It's talking about the things that money cannot buy. And that is the subject that I'd like to look at this afternoon. I want to look at a topic that money cannot buy.
Yes.
And it's called contentment. Now, you could say, I would be contented if I had enough money. But we're talking about durable riches. We're not talking about what can come and go in an instant. We're talking about something that can stick with you, whether you have money or when it should happen to leave you. So I was looking this week at the subject of contentment. The definition says, a state of satisfaction, a peaceful ease of my mind. And I saw this saying, contentment is not about having everything, but in being satisfied with everything you have. You know, there's some people say, I would be contented if I had everything I wanted. You know, there's always something else out there that'll come up tomorrow. That's what the advertising world is all about. To be able to show you something new that you don't have in your kitchen even, or out in your tool shed. This tool is something that you just got to have. Got to be able to get it. Well, instead it says contentment is being satisfied with everything that I've got. Sometimes to be able to see the value of one thing, you have to look at the extreme opposite of it. What would the extreme opposite of it be? Covetousness.
Yes.
Gotta have this. And I'd like for us to start, and you may know of other examples in the Bible, but this is one that just came to my mind. Talk about the lack of contentment. This man had riches, but they were not durable riches. He didn't have contentment. His name was King Ahab. I'd like to look over in the 21st chapter of 1 Kings. It says, it came to pass after these things that Naboth had a vineyard, which was in Jezreel, hard by the palace of Ahab, king of Syria. What's this saying? This man, Naboth, he happened to have a vineyard that joined up to the palace. You know, you can have your property value goes up when you have it joining neighbors that have real nice houses. It makes your property value go up also. Well, he happened to be up next to the king's palace. But it causes a problem. Ahab in the second verse said, give me that vineyard, give me thy vineyard that I may have it for a garden of herbs. It's near to my house. I'll give thee for it a better vineyard than it. Or if it seem good to thee, I'll give thee the worth of it in money. Now look at this one. You know, contentment is the opposite of this. So far, he has not done anything wrong. There would be nothing wrong with any of us going to a neighbor that lived next to us and said, you got this lot here. I would like to see if I could buy this lot from you. Would you sell it? What price would you sell it for? If he says you a price that you could buy it for, there's nothing wrong there. If Naboth had said, you know, I've been thinking about selling it anyhow. Yes, let's work out a deal for it. You know, we wouldn't even have this story in the Bible. But instead, it's given to us for instruction of what can happen in the human heart when we are not contented. This one, Naboth tells him, it's not for sale. Not at any price. This has been in our family for years, and I intend to keep it there. You know what? This is where the road starts to turn. Is when the road that turns from contentment. You know, contentment doesn't say that you will not buy something else out in the future, but it's what you do about it when you can't happen to get it, what happens to you. Well, Ahab, you know, we've heard the little song that the children have sung to us about Ahab when he pouted. And Ahab, when he realized, you know what, Naboth really is not going to let me have this. That's when the trouble came in Ahab's heart about this situation. Because then, you remember it's a story, his wife said, you know what, you're the king, you can have whatever you want. and she signed some papers and got some things done to where Naboth was killed, and it was given back to Ahab. But I'm looking at this one. What are my thoughts? If I were in that same position, if I wanted to buy some land from my neighbor, and I went to him and asked him, what are my thoughts about it when he says no? Covet, to earnestly desire what belongs to another. You know what that earnestly desiring is moving into an area more than just I would like to buy it. It is, I've got to have it. So this is an area before we even start with contentment. We want to be able to understand what happens to the human heart when covetousness comes in. I was looking at Exodus, one of the Ten Commandments. Usually when we read it, we only have about four words, thou shalt not covet, four or five words. But let's take a look at what instruction was given here. Exodus 20 and 17, thou shalt not covet, that's usually where we stop. But this one goes on to a lot of other things listed out. Thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's wife, his manservant, his maidservant, his ox, his ass, nor anything that is thy neighbor's. So, you know, coveting goes down to another level than just, I wonder if he wants to sell this lawnmower that he's got, and I'm asking him about it. It's coming down to a level where I'm earnestly desiring it, but it says that the person is even willing to go out of what are the bounds that you could be able to get it for. So there's some instruction for us, and this one was given in Exodus. And I have another little example that I'd like to give before we look at contentment. King David was kind of like King Ahab. He could have whatever he wanted, and he found himself wanting something that if he had read, you know what? The Ten Commandments were in effect when David was here. You remember the verse that we use often? Thy word, O Lord, I've hid it in my heart that I might not sin against thee. If David, before he stepped out of his door onto his roof, if he had been thinking about this verse, thou shalt not covet thy neighbor's house or thy neighbor's wife, you know, it could have made a difference for him when he stepped out and saw Bathsheba. And instead, it caused him to covetousness, caused him to move into some areas that he never would have gone, never expected to go into. So we're looking at the extreme of contentment, because contentment is what we're trying to strive for. I think this may have been even used this morning over in Luke in the 12th chapter. Jesus said something, a verse, Luke 12 and 15. Take heed and beware of covetousness. A man's life consisteth not in the abundance of the things which he possesseth. What was he talking about? I think I've always in the past thought he gave this instruction because he's about to tell them about the parable of the man, the ground of a certain rich man brought forth plentifully. But I think it's attached to what had just been done before that. 13th verse, one of the company said to him, Master, speak to my brother that he divide the inheritance with me. And he said to him, Man, who made me a judge or a divider over you? So you know what, there's some things about this little story right here that we don't see all the pieces of, but Jesus knew them. You know, he's able to know what the thoughts of people were. And he knew what the thoughts of the person was that was bringing this to him. Seems like a right thing to do. Somebody talk to my brother that he divides up things like it should be done. But this one says, beware of covetousness. You know, it has happened in the past when families have been divided over an inheritance.
Yes.
Over something that had no value, no monetary value. But when it comes time to split it up, it really does split it up. People that never speak again, people that never come, you know, they've talked about, it's been years since we talked to that person, my brother, or my sister, because at that time things were split up and I didn't get what I wanted. This is telling us a man's life does not consist in the abundance of the things that he possesses. So we're looking at durable riches. So there are some things for us that will give us durable riches. Over in Colossians, the third chapter, and in the fifth verse, you know, here's a list of some pretty terrible things. Mortify, therefore, your members which are upon the earth: fornication, uncleanness, inordinate affection, evil concupiscence, and covetousness, which is idolatry. I was looking at that in the commentary. It says, what happens with covetousness when I'm desiring something like that? It secures the affections which properly belong to God. That makes it idolatry. It's something that I start to worship. But there's a secret for us to be able to have contentment. We're talking about way off the scale when we talk about Ahab and King David, the things they did. We say, I'd never be tempted with that. But there are some secrets for us. One of them is in Hebrews, the 13th chapter. Let your conversation, this could also be changed, let your conduct be without covetousness, and be content with such things as you have. Remember what we're saying, it's not about having everything, but it's being enjoying the things that I do have. Here it's, but be content with such things as you have, because he has said, I will never leave you nor forsake you. Let your conversation be without covetousness. Be content with such things as you have. Now, we may think about this as only talking about money. I want to tell you this afternoon, that takes in so much more than money. Be content with such things as you have. This one verse would solve the transgender questions that the world has today. What brings it about? Being content with who God made me to be. You know what? This is who I am. It used to be that as a world we were affected by, I don't really like who I am. I'm too short. So I'm going, you know, the scripture talks about who would be able to add a little bit to your stature. You know, people have tried. Yes. I've seen men that tried. I thought it was just women prancing around in the high heel shoes. And I look and I say, there's a broken ankle coming. This thing is going to cause some injury. But those are things that we used to be thinking about in the past. We've moved on to some other things to be discontented with now. Used to be, you know, if I had brown hair and I wanted it some other color, I could just dye it. You know what it would be? That's temporary. I've noticed it. Because you know what that woman that dyed her hair? Just a few days later, I can tell what her hair was unless she dyes it every night and keeps it that way. If I came to here next Sunday and my hair was jet black like it was when I was... Now everybody's awake. Like it was when I was about 19 years old. You know what would happen? I would look some younger maybe, but not much. There's wrinkles still. But what would happen is, give it just a little bit of time. I had a barber that told me, he said, you know what the difference is of a good haircut and a bad haircut? Because he gave me a bad one. He said it's about 2 weeks. It's going to grow out. Well, you know what? That's going to happen if I say, I just don't want to be old. So I dye it all black. And now, 2 weeks from now, I got that much white and the rest is black. So, you know, these kind of things, now we have moved on to some bigger things. Now I don't want to be who God made me to be. Folks, you want to talk about contentment? It is me saying, this is who God made me to be. And I'm satisfied with that. If my hair is this color, if my height is this color, if I am the man, a man or a woman as God made me to be able to be contented with that. There's a couple verses that I'd like for us to think with this. In Romans 9:20, 20th verse, O man, who art thou that repliest against God? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why have you made me thus? You know what? This is where we are today. The world around us, some of the world around us, they don't know it, but they're saying to God, Why have you made me this way? I don't want to be this way. You talk about contentment is to be able to say, you know what? God was in control of how he made me to be. And we see also over in Jeremiah 18:3, where it says, I went down to the potter's house and I saw him work a work on the wheel. You know what? He made a vessel just like he wanted it to be. So, you know, we're talking about, I'd like to have contentment. It's durable riches that I cannot buy. You can't buy contentment, not the kind that lasts very long. Because if your contentment is that I have reached this level of a certain amount of money, tell me if you have contentment if the stock market crashes and you've lost it all tomorrow. You know what? This has the ability through the Lord to be able to have contentment when I have it and when I don't have it. Jeremiah was talking about, I went down to the potter's house and he worked a work on the wheel. He made the vessel just like he wanted it to be. It would be good for us to remember this as the world drifts. Maybe it's not even a drift anymore. It's like a whirlwind moving farther and farther away from what God made us to be. To be able to realize, you know what God intended was to kind of like that potter. He got a piece of clay. Where did we come from to start with? He took some dust and he made man. Kind of like the potter, except the potter needs some water to be able to make something. And God made it without that. But he made us just like he wants us to be, as far as a human. And I tell you, we have not seen the end of the destruction this is going to cause to people. When I no longer can be comforted in the fact. You know, we used to have some big things we worried about as a child, my bicycle and those kind of things. I never spent time worrying about if I was a boy that I wanted to be a girl. You know, it wasn't on the list. There were other things. So much has changed, and I tell you, it's going to cost a price. Yes. It already is. They're saying that the suicide rate is going up. Yes. And they're blaming it on people that don't accept it. You know what it is? Shall the thing formed say to him that formed it, Why have you made me thus? I want to tell you something. She's talking about, Sister Maxine, this morning, durable riches. We will find contentment is over in the durable riches column when we realize, you know what, God is in control of it all. True contentment comes from the knowledge that everything that comes in my life has been allowed by God. You know, that is a valuable thing for us to know. And to me, as I look through the scriptures to find an example of contentment, Paul comes as an example to me. Did he have everything in place? He had all the money and he had no troubles and everything was good and we can call him contented? No, he had a lot of troubles in his life and he's the one that teaches us scriptures about contentment. You know, I value that. If he was just a wealthy man and he said, I want to tell you about being contented, it wouldn't help me much if I don't have wealth. He went through trouble and he had contentment. It's kind of his contentment was not like the Laodicean church in Revelations. You know, they had a contentment. What did they say about themselves? I am rich. Yes. I'm increased with goods. And they really said, I'm contented. I'm rich, I'm increased with goods, and I have need of nothing. That's in Revelations 3:17. Now that sounds like contentment. Did Jesus say to them, you got it right, you are in the contentment category? He said, if you only saw who you really were. Yes. And here's some other people. In 1 Timothy 6:5, perverse disputings of men of corrupt minds, destitute of the truth, supposing, you know, this may seem like it's far out, but there are people that suppose that gain is godliness. Yes. Just like the Laodicean church, we are wealthy. Things are going our way today. It must be that God's approval is stamped on us. supposing that gain is godliness, from such withdraw thyself. And it goes on down here, godliness with contentment.
Yes.
That's what has durable goods. Godliness with contentment. It's great gain. And then I realized something that I believe Job recognized. We brought nothing into this world, and it's certain we can carry nothing out.
Yes.
You know, we recognize that every time we go to a funeral. It doesn't matter if the person was wealthy or if they're poor. It's only a car that takes them into the cemetery with nothing loaded on. And I guess this came to me, and I've told it before, but down in New Orleans, we were traveling, went through there and saw a huge cemetery. And just as I passed the cemetery, on the other side of the fence was a mini storage. And I thought, wow, what a contrast. Don't bring it in here. You're going to have to leave it on the outside of the fence. Nobody brings in all their goods that they had. You know, that's the way with us. We're going to leave everything else. But contentment, the real contentment that we're talking about, comes from God himself. So it tells us about, you know, where it says in Luke 12, beware of covetousness. A man's life does not consist in the abundance of the thing he possesses. Go ahead and tell a story of a man that got wealth, and he worked hard to be able to get it. And then he said, he talked to his soul. You know, he was just a good businessman for part of it. If you have a crop that comes in and you're not going to be able to protect it until you sell it, it would be wise for you to build a barn that you can house it all in. But it's when he talked to his soul and said, soul, you've got much goods laid up for many years. To him, that was contentment. I have gained temporal things. And God looked at it and called him a fool. So you know what? I want to ask God to search me. When I say I'm contented, is it contented in the right direction? Have I got my things, the things in my life that are important? What does it say? Supposing that gain is godliness. I don't want to be able to have that that tells me that I'm godly. I need the Lord to be able to approve of my life. So what was Paul's experience and what was his testimony? Over in Philippians, the fourth chapter. You know, because we really will have to look back and say, you know what, if he could find contentment, any one of us can find contentment. 4:11, it says, not that I speak in respect of want. I have learned in whatsoever state I am to be content. You know, I'm glad that he put it that way, because it sounds like he wasn't there himself, maybe for some of it. It takes sometimes some things coming into my life and me realizing, you know what? I was not contented with that. He says, I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I know both how to be abased. I know how to abound. You know, I would think all of us know how to abound. But you know, we can lose out with the Lord when things are going very well in our life. You remember over in Deuteronomy, maybe it was even brought in today sometime, about the Lord saying, you be real careful. When you move into land and you now have houses, you have lands, you have vineyards, and you have all these things, be real careful to go and thank the Lord for it. Because it's going to be real easy for you to say, it was my hands that got me this wealth. So he gave us some warnings for that. Paul says, I've learned when things are going well to be contented. I've learned when they all turn away to be contented. Really, contentment that way comes from the Lord. I'm satisfied to understand that God is allowing everything that comes into my life to come that way. So he says, I have learned. What do we have that's our song? I believe it's number 219. It says, I am learning of my Savior precious lessons every hour. So that still means there's some hope for me to be able to learn some lessons even about contentment. It says a couple of those verses, learning more and more to love him. And I believe this verse is a secret for us to be able to have consistent contentment, learning more and more to love Him, yielding all into His will. Now, you know, whenever I have done that, I've given it all to Him, and tomorrow things go wrong, I've already given it to Him. So there is a contentment that can come. Does it mean that I don't want it to change? You remember Paul said, I would like for this problem that I have to change. But he had a secret that gave him the contentment that he's teaching us about. There is another song. Would you walk with the Lord in the light of His word and have peace and contentment always? I believe everyone else would say, I'd love to have peace and contentment all the time. You know, he gives us a secret for it. You must do His sweet will to be free from all ill. On the altar, your all you must lay. For me to be able to make a consecration of giving it all to God. You know, Paul had so many things happen in his life, so many times that he was shipwrecked, he was beaten, all those things came to him. But he had a vision of heaven, a heavenly vision that he said it was not lawful for him to even speak about it, try to describe it. And he said because of that revelation that was given to him, lest he should be exalted above measure, a thorn in the flesh was given to him. A lot of people have tried to figure what that was, and it really doesn't matter. It was something that troubled him enough that he came to the Lord three times and said, I would like for this to be removed. You know what? We can lose our level of contentment when things don't change to the way we would like for them to be. And I'm bringing it to the Lord and asking Him. You know, that we got the verse that says, if ye abide in me and my words abide in you, you just ask whatever you want and it'll be done for you. Paul is an example that something else must be attached to those verses. What came back to Paul? And you know what? It could have been his salvation. It did not come back to, I'm going to heal you. It came back, I've got grace that's sufficient for you. Well, Paul already explained that, you know what? If something didn't come to me, I could have been exalted above measure. And what does it say? Let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall. He recognized the danger of it himself. And what did he do? He came to some places where he said, he's got the answer now. My grace is sufficient for you. He's going to have to make a choice now. Contentment's going to be gone if he's not careful. What does he say? Most gladly will I glory in my infirmities. Am I just happy that I have them? No, I'm happy that God's in control of them. He's allowing them. We have a song over in 166. Because, you know, I like to find the examples when I'm looking for contentment. I want to find the people, not just the people that have everything like the revelations. I've got lots of money. I don't have any problems. So, yes, I'm contented. But what about the folks that are having trouble in their lives and they can have contentment? Song number 166, verse number 2. Christ is mine, my hope of glory. He's the anchor of my trusting soul. Holding fast while in the tempest, stormy waves around me roll. Troubles that are coming in to this songwriter. But here's what he says. Christ is mine, and every longing he satisfies abundantly. He's my joy, my hope, my glory. He is all, yes, all to me. So this songwriter never had any trouble come into his life. If I'm not mistaken, the left-hand side is the person that wrote the song, C.W. Naylor. The story of him was he was out working for the Lord, maybe putting up a tent for a revival meeting when something happened and he was crippled. He was an invalid for the rest of his life. And he can say, Christ is mine and every longing he satisfies abundantly. He's my joy, my hope, my glory. He is all, yes, all to me. So I would like to have the contentment that when things are going well, I'm contented. But you know what? All the world can do that when things are going well. But I want to be able to have the contentment that is realization that the Lord is in control of the things in my life. it covers those areas where things are going wrong for me like they did for Paul. I would like to look at another verse in Psalms 107. Because you know what? I want him to be able to fill those places in my life. Psalms 107 and 8. Oh, that men would praise the Lord for his goodness and for his wonderful works to the children of men. He satisfieth the longing soul, and he filleth the hungry soul with gladness. I am glad that he is able to bring a satisfaction in my life. There's another song, number 300. It says, I am drinking at the fountain where I ever would abide. This is where I want to stay. For I've tasted life's pure river, and my soul is satisfied. Now that's contentment right there. It says, there's no thirsting for life's pleasures, nor adorning rich and gay. For I found a richer treasure, one that fadeth not away. You know what? That's where true contentment can come from. And we're living in a time in 2023 where contentment can leave us so easily. Things can happen all around us, and this contentment that comes from the Lord that is in the durable riches category, whether I have money or whether I don't, it comes from the Lord. I want to be able to have it. I would like to close with one more song, and I'd like for us to sing it. It's number 97. You know, to do this, this says, my soul is satisfied. Yes. And there's a verse in there that I would like to, verse number 2. All my soul can wish forever. Now, you know what? That covers my whole lifetime. All the things that I would like to have come into my life. You know, and really, I want good things to come into my life. All my soul could wish forever, I do find in Christ replete. Every blessing and the giver in my peaceful bosom meet. My soul is satisfied. And he said, I am complete. Complete how? Well, I got my money together and I got my bills paid and I am satisfied. I'm contented. I am complete in Jesus' love and my soul is satisfied. First verse says, all this world, its wealth and honor cannot satisfy the human breast. And you know what? We can look around us and find out this is a true statement. All the things that the world has to offer cannot bring this kind of contentment that the Lord can give. But when it's filled with God our Father, every want is fully blessed. My soul is satisfied. You know, we're going to have times in our life to where I could say, I'm there. You know, we're going to have times in our life where we can see that this kind of contentment just left me. And it can be just about troubles that come into our life. But you know what? I don't think the Lord, I'm so glad the Lord is not interested in cutting us off. But instead, what he wants to do is hold out to us what I have available for you. We heard that this morning. I don't think he's interested in cutting people off. His desire is for us to be able to see what the true riches are that he has available. And I tell you, one of the true riches is that I can have contentment, whether things are going well or whether they are not. And a lot of that comes from me consecrating myself to the Lord and saying, Lord, I tell you what, I give you this. Yes. If it's good times, yes. Or bad times,
yes.
We can say, my soul is satisfied. Satisfied with God's dealings in my life. My desire is to make heaven my home. I want to do what Paul did. I'm glad he gave us that little clip there. He didn't say, you know what, I came into this knowing about contentment. He said, I have learned. Had some times probably where he had to make some adjustments. I have learned in whatsoever state I am therewith to be content. I desire your prayers.